All right. I want you to take your Bible, if you would, and I want you to take it and turn to the book of Psalms. And I want you to turn to Psalms 103 and verse number 13. Now, if you were here this morning, you know that I told you right before we dismissed that I was going to preach on my favorite verse in the Bible. I guess if I had to pick one verse out of the entire Bible, this would be my favorite verse. Now, there's several verses I like. And from time to time, for whatever reason, people come up to me over the years. They want me to sign their Bible, which is a thing I still don't like to do. I just do it because people ask me to do it, and I don't want to be rude to them or whatever. But I'm always thinking, why in the world do you want me to sign the Bible? Usually, the fellow that writes the thing signs it. Mm-hmm. Amen. But I sign it, and I put a couple of different verses. Most of the time, I put 1 Corinthians 15:58. But now I begin to sign it with my, this ain't my life verse. This is just my favorite verse. I just like this verse. I like Psalm 103, verse number 13. So I'm going to preach on this verse tonight, my favorite verse, and we're going to talk about the pity of the Lord tonight. Now I want you to notice what the verse says. It says in Psalm 103, verse number 13, the Bible says that like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I've heard people say stuff like this before. I don't want your pity. I don't want you to pity me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. Well, let me tell you something tonight. I want God to pity me.
Amen.
I'm glad that God pities me. And to be honest with you, just ask my wife. She can tell you, I'll take all your pity you give me. It doesn't bother me a bit for you to walk out here and say, that poor brother Dennis, he's dumb as a box of rocks. Lord, help him. Hey, man, if that causes you to feel sorry for me and pray for me, pity me. And if you knew about yourself what God knows about you, you'd pity your own self. You need a lot more pity than you think you do. This is just a very touching verse to me. And I know some of you would think, boy, I sure wouldn't expect that to be your favorite verse in the Bible. Mean as you are and rough as you are and tough as you are, and the way you just rear back and preach and bust heads and break backs and everything when you preach it. And you mean to tell me that's your favorite verse in the Bible? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because up here on this, I don't know what you want to call it, but you get in trouble calling it a stage, a platform, a pulpit, or whatever it is, trampoline. Up here where I'm at preaching it, this man standing up here preaching to you tonight needs the pity of God on his life. And if God don't look over the banister of heaven and look at Dennis Knowles tonight and say, man, he is just, that's a soup sandwich down there. He's just as messed up as he can be. If I don't reach down there and help that boy, he's in trouble. He's a sunk ship. He'll never go anywhere in life. He'll never pastor Holy Hills. He'll never be able to get through another sermon. He can't lead. He can't lead. He can't even lead himself. How can he lead a church? I need God's pity.
Amen.
You need God's pity. This is a precious verse. I love this verse. Before we go on any farther, Brother Billy, would you pray for us tonight and we'll get on with it? Yes. Amen. Please. Amen. Yes. Amen. Please. Yes. Amen. 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 If you look up the definition of the word pity in the dictionary, it would tell you that it's a feeling of sorrow and compassion caused by the suffering and misfortune of others. And something interesting about this word pity, if you look at this word pity in your King James Bible, it's basically an Old Testament word except for one time. Every time you see the word pity show up in your King James Bible, it's in the Old Testament. There's only one time that this word pity shows up in the New Testament, and it'll give you a meaning. See, that's how you find out what a word means in the Bible. You don't go back to the Greek and the Hebrew. We're Bible believers around here. That Bible will define itself. You just keep studying it, keep reading it, invest in you a Strong's Concordance or something like that, or you may have it on your phone or something now, and just run scripture with scripture, and you'll find out what that book says. All right, now hold your place here. We're just going to turn to one passage, and we come back. I want you to look over in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. This is the only time this word pity shows up in the Bible that's not in the Old Testament. And it's the story that the Lord is telling here about forgiveness. And you're going to find out there's a couple of things that go when you have pity. Somebody, we're talking about God having pity on us. There's a couple of things that goes with that. What you find over there in Matthew chapter 18, it says, the kingdom, verse number 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents, for as much as he had not to pay. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found out one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, a very small amount compared to what this man owed. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he will not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Watch this. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now, he tells you what he's talking about there when he uses the word pity. It's got to do with two things. It's compassion and forgiveness. And, of course, you read the end of this thing, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Now, you can turn back to Psalm. So when I say I'm going to have pity on somebody, it's an expression of compassion for them and forgiveness. Now, everybody in here experienced some pity of the Lord when you got saved. I mean, God looked down there and he saw a bunch of nothing. And I tell you what, he took our soul that deserved nothing but hell. And when he washed us in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, he had pity on us, man. He had pity on us. And in that pity is a feeling of compassion. I'm glad to know tonight that I've got a God up in heaven that even though I'm wicked at times, even though I don't even give him a second glance at times, that he don't treat me like I treat him. He's much better to me than I've ever been to him. And when I have no pity on myself or others or even him, I got a God up in heaven that has compassion and pity on me tonight. I don't know what that means to you, but it means everything to me. So that's what you get. You get forgiveness and compassion when you're talking about pity. Now I want to look at three things in this passage here tonight. Psalm 103 verse number 13. That'll be the message. The first thing I want you to notice in this passage is what I call the resemblance of the Lord's pity. And the resemblance is that he gives you an illustration of his pity. And notice what he uses. He uses the relationship between an earthly father and his son to show you the kind of pity that he has on you as his children down here on the earth. Notice what he says there. Verse number 13. Like as a father pitieth his children. Mm-hmm. You know what God said? When God got ready to tell you about the pity that he has on us, he says, let me just give you some semblance of what I'm talking about. Like a father. I'm talking about a good father, not a bad father. Like a good father. A loving, caring father would have pity on his small child. I want you to know that me from heaven, I have that same kind of pity on you. And then I got to thinking about that because I'm a father. My son just turned 21 yesterday. But I remember when he was little, it seemed like it was no time ago. He was just a little boy. And I got to thinking about that. When does a father pity his child? One thing I think about, a father pities his child when he's sick or suffering. I'm telling you something. I remember when my son was little, if anything was wrong with him, I'd go to pieces. You think usually it's the women that would do that, but Darby is the strong one. I'm the weak one. She'd just be, it's okay. He's just got a little fever. That's what youngins do. I'm down on my knees, pray, oh, God, please don't take him. He just got a 99 fever. You know, I'm all tore up and I'm all upset and I'm all nervous. And if he comes in, you know, I'm serious, man. I wish I wasn't like this, but if I was, he'd come in and he'd say, "I'm just not feeling good, Daddy. What's wrong?" "Well, something, my head ain't feeling good." I'm like, "You seeing blur? You got blurry vision or anything? You all right? We need to take you to the doctor." "Yeah, I'm sort of like that, but..." Well, some of the times I feel the most emotion in my heart was remembering back when my little boy was sick. My little boy didn't feel good. My little boy was suffering. I think God looks at us like that. You think there might be someone here tonight that's sick? You're God's child. Maybe you're sick. There may be all kinds of diseases in here tonight. Mental and physical suffering. Maybe there's somebody here tonight that's really sick. Maybe terminal. God has pity on you. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. I think of another time when I would pity my child. Sometimes we pit them when they sin or misbehave. Sometimes we have to give them the rod, don't we? Sometimes you'd be merciful to them. Now, I know how you men are, especially if you got a little girl. I'm glad I didn't have a little girl because my boy manipulated me enough. And if I had a little girl, she probably could have burned the house down and said, "Daddy, I'm sorry." "It's all right. We'll get another house, you know." "It's okay. Don't worry about it." And I see how some of you men are with your granddaughters. Let me tell you, granddaughter, something. If you play your cards right, you can get anything you want from your granddad. Take it to the bank. I know you can. Amen. We pity them sometimes when they mess up, and we say, "Man, I just whip you all the time." That was one time in Zechariah, my son's life. I thought, "Man, I'm just whipping you all the time. I don't want to whip you no more. Just I'll let you get away with a few things." And then we pity them when they are small, they're young, they're unskilled, they're weak, or they're afraid. You never remember when your youngin' was little and come in there and was scared of the dark? I'm still a little scared of the dark. Well, I'm not really scared of the dark, I'm scared of what's in it. I'm real careful about what I listen to and what I read. Listen, man, I'm not picking up a book and reading about black helicopters and UFOs and Illuminati and then saying, "Good night, honey," and turning the light out. Think there's an alien in there in the window looking at me. Amen. We don't do that. But hey, you ever get afraid, though? You ever get afraid? And when your child was afraid, you remember when your child was afraid, something bothered them? Maybe it was lightning, maybe it was thunder, or whatever it was. And they come in there and you say, "It's all right. It's all right." You know what? You'd have pity on them. You'd have pity on them because you felt it in your heart when you looked at them and they were afraid. I believe the Lord does that for us. How many of you believe the Lord that? How many of you believe the Lord pities us sometimes when we're afraid? Amen. I believe He does. I believe He does. Let me tell you something. I preach hard because you ought to preach hard. I preach about God's judgment because you ought to preach about it. I preach that you ought to do right because you ought to do right. But I'm going to tell you something. God ain't an ogre up there in heaven with a ball bat reared back, ready to bust you in the head with it and just every time you look at something wrong. God is a merciful, loving God, and He's a God of pity. And if He wasn't for that, we wouldn't have no hope tonight. Amen. No hope tonight. And you know, that will make you love Jesus Christ more than you ever loved Him, to think about the fact that I've got a God up in heaven that pities me. And just like my good daddy or my good mama pitied me when I was a child and I love Him so much, it's no comparison to how God pities me. Amen. And the compassion and the mercy God has on me in my life. Not even, no comparison.
Amen.
And then I want to look at the recipient of the Lord's pity. We looked at the resemblance of it. Look at the recipient of the Lord's pity. Who gets His pity? Well, who knows what He says now. "Likewise, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them," what, church? "That fear Him." So who gets the pity? Those that fear Him. Notice in verse number 17, as He goes on below this passage talking, He says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that," what? "Fear Him. And His righteousness of the children's children." He pities the man that fears Him. Listen, folks, if you are prideful here tonight, if you are the strong, If you're someone here tonight who needs no pity, you'll get no pity. Are you here tonight and you don't need any pity? I'm a self-made man. Everything I've ever got, I worked hard for it. I was raised poor. I didn't have anything, and I worked hard all my life, 80 hours a week, and now look at what all I've done and what all I've got. You're a fool. You're an idiot. God could have snapped his fingers 25 years ago, sir, and broke your back in three places. You'd never hit another lick at it again. You wouldn't have nothing. You wouldn't have two pennies to rub together. If you've got any mind tonight that's earned you a living, if you've got any intellect, if you've worked hard, if you've got any money in the bank, if you've got any degrees behind your name, if you've got any house or land or cars or anything, it's just because God gave you the ability to get it. And you sitting here thinking, well, I worked harder than that fellow. Listen, maybe that fellow would have wanted to work as hard as you. Maybe he didn't get what you got. Maybe he didn't get an intellect like you. Maybe he couldn't have went to school and passed some of the things you passed. Now you slayed up in pride. You think you're so much smarter than him, and you're actually probably a lot dumber than he is. Let me just tell you something. Just throw this in here. I feel like preaching just a little bit here on this point. Some of the dumbest people I ever met, I met in college. Some of the biggest idiots I know of are college graduates. Don't look at me and get mad now. I'll preach 10 more minutes on him. I'm a college graduate. My wife, I met her, she's a college graduate. My mama's a college graduate. I got two sisters, both of them graduated from college. I'm not against education, but listen, education won't help. Sometimes you go through school and come out an idiot. What's education going to do if you ain't right with God? Just make you smarter on how to do wicked. You need God. I know how I got off on that, but I'm enjoying preaching it. The pity is for the fellow that fears God. The pity is for the man that says, I'm nothing. I'm weak. I'm afraid of God. What God can do anything he wants to me, anytime he wants to me. People run around here and do stuff and they don't fear God. Now I know our main motivation for serving God is to love him. But I wonder where the fear of God's gone, brother. I don't know about you, but I'm afraid of God to be a hypocrite. And I know all of us, if we're going to tell the truth here tonight, are hypocrites from time to time. In other words, nobody in here lives up 100% of what you say you believe. I understand that. But I'm talking about living this lifestyle of hypocrisy. I don't know what your kind of relationship is with God, but mine is if I just look at somebody wrong, the Holy Ghost hits me real quick. It's like he punched me between the eyes and said, boy, that ain't right. If I'm sitting there and my mind gets to drifting on something it shouldn't be drifting on, all of a sudden the Lord said, what you thinking about, boy? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I mean, it's a short thing with me. I don't know. I don't know how he deals with everybody. I know how he deals with me. And I hope I stay this way, Brother Sonny, but as of right now in my life, my conscience and my spirit is very sensitive to the Lord. And it don't take much convicting on me to make me feel like that, like I've done bad. I'm a bad boy. And you say, well, you know, I don't feel that way. Yeah, something's wrong with your conscience tonight. You've seared it. Something's wrong with your spirit. Your spirit ain't responding to God like it ought to. And you know what? If you'll fear God, if you'll be conscious of what you do in your life and how it goes against what God's taught you, goes against what you know in your spirit, and you keep your account short with God, I believe God pities folks like that. But the folks that don't get pity are the folks that says, I got it. I got it. I can handle it. You men are bad about that. You know, that's why I was so glad to see about 15 or 20 of you show up Saturday to help unload my U-Haul. I ain't got it. You ever seen a bunch of men, I can do it. You walking around the next 2 or 3 weeks all crippled and limping like this. And don't worry about that dolly. We ain't getting that dolly. We can pick it up. Oh, I know you can. And you laid up there in the bed and seeing the chiropractor for the next 2 months. Now, let me tell you something. This is hard for some of you men, but you don't have it. And what you do have, God gave it to you. And if God gave it to you, he can take it back away from you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And I don't know about you, but dude, I've already reached that point in my life But you, some of you young, strong men like Sonny, now he may not understand all this message tonight, but Sonny, give you about 20 or 30 more years, you won't be able to play baseball. You'll be good to get out of bed. But say, hey, is there any older men in here that used to think, man, I could just whip anybody I wanted to, run as fast as I wanted to, do anything I want to, and now you're going to do good to get back in your car tonight? Anybody, any man in here like that? Amen. Amen. Now listen, the older you get, the more you realize you need the pity of God. Amen. God pity this old man so I can get back to my car tonight. Amen. I see some hands coming up. Folks like Sonny don't understand this, but I'm telling you, brother, if the Lord tarries, you will. You'll get old like everybody else. Hey, this is as good as it gets. Enjoy it. Amen. You got up there teaching that Sunday school this morning, writing all that stuff, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. You'll be in the middle of that thing one day and you won't even know, what's the kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of heaven? Where am I at right now? It's coming, ain't it, Brother Billy? Amen. If you truly fear the Lord, you may mess up at times, but He will pity you. And the third thing I want to look at is the reason for the Lord's pity. What's the reasons for the Lord's pity? Well, He tells you that. Notice what He says in verse number 4. Let's read 13 and go into 14. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. Notice what He says. For, or because, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. You know what God knows about us? He knows we ain't nothing but dirt. When you die and your spirit leaves and your soul leaves, your body's going back down there. It's going to be worm bait. You say, why did they put your body back down in the dirt? Because that's where you came from. God knows our frame. And you know what God knows about my frame? Even though I may have what you call a robust frame. That's what people want to say. He has a robust. No, I'm fat. He has an obesity problem. No, he's fat. Your preacher's fat. It's not. I'm not obese. I'm not robust. I'm not whatever. I'm fat. Let's just call it by how it is. Amen. You know what He knows about our frame? He knows that Dennis knows his frame. And I'm talking about who I really am inside. Is weak. I'm weak. I'm very weak. And when I'm weak, He's strong. Amen. The reason some of you ain't very strong is you've never realized how weak you are.
That's right.
Amen.
And I hate to say this, but it's true. Some of you that's never realized how weak you are, coming along here in the near future sometime, God's going to bring something in your life like a hurricane.
Yeah.
Amen. He's going to knock the slats right out from under your feet. And you're going to hit the ground. And He's doing it because He loves you. He's doing it because you need it. He's doing it because it's the only way you can grow. But God is going to show you, sir, ma'am, He's going to show you just how weak you are without Him. And there'll be dark days where you say, God, if you don't do it, God, if you don't do it, God, if you don't help me, it's over. It's over. It's over. There's no way out of it. It'll come. Then you'll realize, God, I want your pity. All this pride, and I don't need your pity, and I'm a self-made man, and I don't need God, I don't need this, I don't need that. You'll get on your knees and you'll say, God, have mercy on me. God, have compassion on me. I'm weak. I'm small. I'm fragile. I'm nothing. God, I want all the pity you can give me. All the pity you can give me. Just dump it down on me. We're earthly. We're fleshly. We're mortal. We are fallen creatures. We need God's pity. I brought this cup here. It's a nice old cup here. It's a Yeti cup. Oh, yeah, them old Yeti cups keep it cold for 3 months. Yeah, put ice in there and take it. Sit out there on the In August, July, and June, keep it cold for 3 months. I don't know about that, but when I resigned my church from down there in Alabama, they had a little party for me, and people brought me presents. And one of the families that I was their pastor for several years, they brought me this Yeti cup, and that was one of their presents. And they put on there, on this cup, they put May 2004 to September 2016. That was the length of time I was at the church. And then they had asked me sometime before that, what's your favorite verse? And that lady had that verse put on there. Psalm 103:13. Now the sad thing about this cup is I've had this cup since last September and I've never drank anything out of it because my lovely wife took it over. I was the preacher. They threw the party for me and she got the cup. Brother Poteet was asking me something about my check, about I want direct deposit or give it to me or something a while ago before the service started. I said, don't worry about that. Just give it to Darby. It's all going to her anyway. Never even see my check. Yeah. You know what? I got this cup here, though. I may never get to drink out of it, but I guess I get to look at it. And you know what's good to me? I'm getting ready to close this thing down. You know what's good to me? After 12 and a half years of preaching some hard, mean, rough message, being old mean, rough Brother Dennis, just rough as a cob. When that lady got ready to send me off, lady that loved me, he said, this is what I want to remember, Brother Dennis. Brother Dennis was weak. Wasn't much to Brother Dennis. I wasn't raised in church. My family didn't go to church. Out of all the people in that little country community I was in, my family was the poorest. I didn't have anything. He come right down that road that I lived on and all my cousins and different people that I lived with, and right in the middle of all that bunch that was raised in good families and had folks carrying them to church and good foundations, and he said, I'm going to pick Dennis Knowles out of all of them. You know why he did that? He said, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get the worst one in the bunch so I can get the most glory. And I'm going to show that fella over and over and over in his life how weak he is. So I can show how strong I am. Sort of like it's getting in here right now. Well, I feel a breeze from another world, don't you? Because it's all about him. And the reason you don't ever feel a breeze from another world is you've just got too much pride in your heart. You don't know you need pity. And I pity you. Seems like Mr. T, you say that, I pity the fool. I pity the fool that don't need pity.
Right, amen.
I'm glad I have a Father in heaven that once I received his son, he put me in his family. He looks on me and he shows me pity. Do you need God's pity tonight? Yes, you do. Do you want God's pity tonight? You should. Can you get God's pity tonight? You better know it. Fear him. Let him know that you know just how pitiful you are. And I believe there's some pity for somebody in here tonight. Every head bowed and eye closed. Every head bowed and eye closed, even as Brother Mark comes to the piano.